There are many guests that I look forward to visiting with, and I tell you what, one of the guests I really look forward to every time he's here, and also most of our staff here at Wisconsin Public Radio looks forward to it as well, Paul Novak. Our guest talking about baking bread, holiday breads. We can talk about gifts, holiday gifts for bread bakers, and certainly answer your questions when you call in. Maybe you've got a question about flour. Maybe you've got a question about process. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And Paul, it's great to see you again.
Glad to be here, Larry.
Wonderful. And you brought some wonderful bread.
It's partly the smell of it, bread in general, but this has cardamom in it. And so that's an extra aromatic.
Oh, and it tastes absolutely beautiful.
It's a very, just a basic rich white bread.
Yeah.
Eggs and milk and sugar and cardamom and raisins.
And is it's Yule Kaka.
Yeah, which means Christmas cake or Christmas bread, Norwegian, Swedish, yes.
And it is so good. And we have, and Cheyenne, I think, did Cheyenne post that up on our, I want to mention.
I think it's there.
Yeah, she posted the recipe for it up on our Facebook page. So if you go to the Larry Mueller Show, that's the title of our page, we will be, you'll be excited to see the recipe, and I highly recommend it based on very recent experimentation with my eating.
And I'm not sure what's exactly posted, but I don't make it as rich as it could be either.
Oh, well, I tell you what, it's always a lot of fun. What else have you been baking this week?
Just every week I bake bread.
Yeah.
I just did a French bread class for MATC. So again, a bread that's not real healthy, but good for your soul.
Yeah.
I'll be doing another class in January, but that'll be healthy breads, which is what I make every week. A lot of whole fiber grains and
whole
seeds
grains,
and much.
Yeah.
But I'm planning on making stollen, which is something I like to make at Christmas time too.
Yeah. Now, what's stollen like?
It's a very what would be called a short baking thing, meaning it's got a lot of shortening in it.
Yeah.
So, and I personally do not use Crisco. I think that's evil. It's either butter or lard. If you're gonna, that's Crisco is unnatural. But anyways, it's a yeast.
Yeah.
But it's got a lot of shortening, so it doesn't rise very much, and it's got a you roll it up with a cinnamon sugar filling, so
yeah.
Quite dense.
You're not kneading it a lot either, are you?
No. Yeah. It sits for a while, but it's very, you just have a little slice of it.
What about, that's an ethnic.
Sure, that would be German, Polish, Eastern European. Yes.
Are there some other favorite baked items, or this time of the year, the holiday favorites?
Well, any culture is going to have a Christmas bread.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why you can't make an Easter bread, which is the same sort of thing. And the idea was Easter time was also when the calves were being born, so there was a lot of milk, there was a lot of cream, all of a sudden butter more available. You celebrated spring. Mm-hmm. Well, people in a sense are doing that same thing at Christmas time.
Maybe we should have you back at Easter time and do another Easter program as a matter of fact.
There's an interesting Easter bread. I think the Finns do it. You do it in a flower pot, so it blooms on the top, looks like a mushroom.
Ah.
I mean, you get a regular flower pot that you'd use, but, a brand new one and unglazed.
Yeah. Does that sound like fun?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that idea. Well, we have callers online. By the way, if you'd like to join in, the number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Arlene from New Berlin, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call, Larry. I'm glad to hear you have this gentleman on. I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
I've always made homemade bread like my mother did with her hands. Milk, and she used Crisco as the instead of butter.
Yep.
She's from what was from Austria. I get it to rise in a nice big bowl. That's the first time. And then since I'm 75 and the arthritis is getting kind of hard for me to handle with my hands, I use the dough as a punching bag. I want to know if after the first rise, should I put the dough into the KitchenAid and use the dough hook for
a second go around
kneading, and also if you don't use lard as the whatever,
yeah.
What is the next best thing to that? And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Well, hold on just a second. We got all that.
Okay.
If you're doing your kneading by hand, you don't need a KitchenAid.
No, but my joints need it.
Okay, so...
So the KitchenAid using a dough hook would be instead of using your hands.
Okay.
If you've done the first rise, uh-huh. Then you would just punch it down and then put it into your pans then let it rise a second time.
After the first rise, I usually knead it pretty good. I was aggressive with the kneading.
Well, if you're going to do it a second time... Then you would knead it by hand. You would not want to put it back in a KitchenAid for this if you're going to knead it again.
So use the KitchenAid on the first time, you're saying, Paul.
Yes. If you want to use the KitchenAid on the first, the hardest kneading process, that's when you'd use the dough hook.
And for how long?
That's what gets a little tricky because it's a matter of what speed are you going at and how big is your dough batch. It's got to match your bowl.
The 5 pounds and 5 loaves.
Okay, so then I do 8 minutes by hand with a dough hook. It's going to depend on the speed and the feel of it.
Yeah.
So
you're
just going to have to go. So my technique would always be take it out of the KitchenAid, put it on the counter, and knead it even for a minute just to get the feel of it. Because you're experienced with your hands, yeah. So.
Okay, and then what do you use instead of Crisco?
Well, I'd use a lot of people are going to use butter in their recipes as their shortening. Mm-hmm. Other people are going to use lard. But there's no reason in a bread that you can't use any liquid oil in a bread.
Oh.
And you can use olive oil, canola oil, coconut oil melted down, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any of those.
Well, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate the help.
All right, thanks a lot for calling.
In a sweet bread, I'd be apt to use butter. That's what I used in this one. If I'm going to make a pie crust, I'm going to use lard because that's what you do.
That's what you do. Pie crust. Now you can buy a pie crust in the store.
Apparently, yes.
You have never purchased one. I probably
no.
Somebody asked me, you know, can I please just buy a pie crust in the store? And I said, well, you know what? If it's the only way you're going to get a pie, that's
sure. But it took me years to be able to make a decent pie crust. I mean, it's a whole different thing than making bread. It's not a yeast thing, and it's you want it to be flaky and. If you try using pastry flour, then you're adding another component to it. So literally, it's taken me years, and I just think I'm okay now. I'm not great at it.
Well, I tell you what, we've got callers on. We got a question online here, and we got somebody on the phone. There's an open line for you, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Question or suggestion as we talk with Paul Novak about holiday bread baking. Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Lynn and Racine. Lynn, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning.
Morning.
It isn't a bread-specific question, but you mentioned that you use butter when it says shortening, and I want a clarification. Some recipes will say shortening. Some recipes will say margarine. Some will say butter or margarine. What is the distinction, and is there that much difference?
Well, they're all different kinds of shortening. A shortening really just means fat. I mean, are you using...
So
or oil.
Lard, butter,
yes,
oil.
Yes, they're all different kinds.
Okay.
And sometimes they'll give you choices. Now, I would throw out the margarine because that's really bad.
You know, it's
trans fatty acids and hydrogenation and anyways.
Yeah, except there are some, I have recipes that specifically say margarine.
Yeah, I think you can substitute butter. It'll be slightly different. There's a little bit of water in butter.
Won't it flatten things more? Like, I know we're talking about bread, but if you're doing cookie baking, won't the cookies be flatter if you're using...
If you're making cookies, then the shortening is going to really make a difference. People are not apt to use liquid oil in cookies. They're apt to use something that's semi-solid or solid.
If it says shortening, then it's really your option.
Yes, right.
Yeah, okay.
But it has to match what you want in flavor, but also texture. And cookies are different than stolen, which is different than bread. And bread, it doesn't matter so much, you know, in terms of liquid versus solid.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
All right. And have you ever heard of petitza?
Petitza, yes. Last time I was on, is it Slovenian, Slovakian?
Yeah, Croatian.
Croatian, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Now you're going to have to explain what it is again.
It's a nut roll. It's a yeast bread that has to be, you make your yeast bread and you fill it with a nut paste sort of nut mixture. Very rich. You roll it and then, you know, it'll come out looking, you put it in a bread pan, but it'll be sliced and it's, you know, you've got the sort of a spiral with the nuts inside, but it's a bread. It is a holiday bread.
I'd forgotten about that, but it sounds good.
It's wonderful, yeah.
Yeah. I have a Polish background, so one thing that would be like that would be a poppy seed roll where you... And just so people know, this is the real subtlety of it. You actually have to grind the poppy seeds.
Wow.
Which means you have to have, and I've never done it, because you need a special grinder to grind those fine seeds. But when you make your paste with solid poppy seeds, it doesn't work well enough. You have to change the recipe because it's meant to be used with ground poppy seeds. It's a subtlety in the recipes. And you can buy, you can spend like $100 for your poppy seed grinder.
Yeah, because a regular nut grinder, the one I've got anyway.
Yeah, no, I've seen them. They are just called poppy seed grinders for grinding those tiny seeds.
And they'll nick you for $100 to get
one. Or whatnot. Yeah, it's very specialized. Yes, yes.
Thank you for the info, and have a happy holiday season.
You too.
To you as well, Lynn. Thanks a lot for calling. Visiting with Paul Novak today, baker extraordinaire. He's a baking instructor. He's the author of A Baker's Dozen of Daily Breads and More, and it's always fun when he stops by to talk with you and with me about holiday bread baking. Larry Mueller here, Cheyenne Lentz, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, my mother always said, don't talk with your mouth full, but here I am with a little piece of bread in my mouth because I've been tasting again the ulekaka that Paul Novak brought along today. It's always great when he comes by. We talk about healthy breads and holiday breads, and you can join in. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Chris wondered if there's a difference in handling dark rye and wheat bread. I'm not sure what that means.
Well, rye flour is quite different than whole wheat. You can technically make 100% rye bread, but it's very difficult to do. It has a different kind of gluten. So most people are going to make a partially rye bread. It absorbs water differently. You can't overknead it, etc. The real trick to making a good rye bread is to have a sour rye culture.
Okay.
This is what's been done in Eastern Europe and the Scandinavian countries. Mm-hmm. Without it, rye breads are harder to make. But if you can somewhat metabolize the the rye flour using your sour rye culture, analogous to sourdough, you will get a much better bread. But still use some white flour in it, or some whole wheat flour.
You know, this is always this talk is reminding me about friendship bread, which we were going to talk about. Starter kits for friendship bread are often given as gifts.
Yep, but many people feel burdened by them. They don't know what to do with it, and it comes with a specific recipe, and it's very sweet.
Yeah,
very sweet. But my theory is that I don't know where they come from. Okay, so it's like the fruitcake that's been going around the world for decades. But my theory is that it's really just a basic sourdough culture with a lot of sugar in it, and then it's used in this one recipe, and it's gone. So my experiment for people would be to take your friendship bread culture, forget the recipe it comes with, and in a sense, feed it just flour and water and dilute it, and I think it might turn into a basic sourdough culture.
Why not?
This is an experience. You don't have much to lose. And then if it works, you have a sourdough culture that you can use for pancakes, waffles, bread, biscuits, etc.
And as long as your refrigerator doesn't quit on you, like mine did one time, you'll have it for a long, long time, for years.
Yes, you can have it for decades. You can have it forever. But I will warn you, you are therefore responsible for it. It's a living culture. You know, it's an organism or organisms. Yes.
Keep it alive. Mary Mack in Madison up next with a comment. Let's go there. Hi, Mary.
Hey. Yeah, I'm going to give you guys a secret on pie crust.
Okay.
My son finally called me after many years of trying. He loves to bake, but he cannot make a pie crust like I do. And the secret comes from my mother and my grandmother. Ice water. You take ice water, and you set it aside as you're mixing dough, you know, and you use your lard and flour and that. When my mom would mix the dry ingredients, if she was making a pumpkin pie, she would take a pinch of cinnamon and a pinch of nutmeg and ginger into the dough. Then she'd mix it with iced water. Now, you roll out your crust. It's beautiful. It's got little specklings of the cinnamon and nutmeg and that in it. And put her pie filling in there, the pumpkin. Bake it, comes out gorgeous. You could slice that pie and pick it up with your hand. Hold it in your hand. The crust doesn't go soggy. You bite into it, that pumpkin pie, and the bottom crust just flakes apart in your mouth beautifully. It's ice water.
That is one of the sort of standard techniques for making a pie crust, is you put in cold water, ice water. Another technique is after you make your pie crust dough, you refrigerate it for an hour, and then you roll it out later. It'll roll out better. You also, many people think that they need to warm up the lard or the butter or whatnot beforehand. That's often a mistake. You want to take that right out of the refrigerator, make your dough, use very cold water, put it back in the refrigerator, bring it out later to roll it out. So people learn these techniques of somewhat keeping the dough cold.
Yeah, and sort of logic would tell me anyway, to do it the other way around, to keep it warm.
Yeah, yeah, and this is why many people have a marble countertop, because it also, does not retain heat, and it's cool.
Sure.
And
hadn't thought about that.
Yeah,
but it's like, to work with it, you have to have it cold.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
You need good points. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. By the way, you can join in 1-800-642-1234. Nancy in Grafton, I believe, is up next. Nancy, hi. Thanks for calling.
Well, good morning. I have 5 loaves of French bread raising on the right now.
Ooh, good for you.
And I wanted to know what the difference between house brand flour, And like, say, gold medal or King Midas or so forth. That's another question. And then a lot of the old recipes call for scalding milk. Now, when you're having milk from the store, it's not raw milk, so I don't know if that, I don't think that should be important anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is the Electric Company cookbook from some years back here in Milwaukee had the best, absolute best recipe for Christmas, rich Christmas Stollen, and I make that a lot at this time of the year, and people order it from me. And so I'm busy. And another thing is, I was 14 years ago on December 17th, back in 49, so I'm 80 years old, and a drunk driver hit my mama and killed her. My dad's car was hit. And so she was a wonderful baker. Oh, my God, the cinnamon rolls, the bread. And I was 14, and nobody was there. I was oldest of six kids. Baby was three. I had to take over. That's why I've been baking ever since I'm 14.
Oh. Well, I want to say it's a wonderful story, but it's not a wonderful story that your mother died. But it's a wonderful thing that you did over your lifetime. Nancy.
And I'll say that I think you're correct about scalding milk. That's when there was raw milk and you had to deactivate the enzymes in it.
Yeah.
It's not necessary anymore. It's just
not necessary to do it.
It's just plain not necessary.
And the whole business about flour, now.
I personally like gold medal.
Yeah.
But I've tried King Midas. There's Dakota. There's other brands. King Arthur is a more expensive brand. One of the differences in a lot of these is their protein content.
Okay.
King Arthur, even their all-purpose, is probably have a little more protein or gluten than gold medal. But it's so hard to talk about because the wheat that they get it from obviously changes from month to month throughout the years. So there's really no consistency either in any of these flours because, where's the wheat coming from?
And so a store brand might be just, it could well be
the same, and it could
the
be
the same exact.
Yes.
Yes. As the gold medal.
Yes, and so somebody else will like Pillsbury. So it's really a matter of taste. Yeah, I'm probably going to avoid the store brands, but I won't always get King Arthur because it's more expensive.
Yeah.
Then there's wheat flour, then there's all-purpose, and then there's bread flour. I would say if you have a choice, go with unbleached as opposed to bleached. One less chemical process.
One less process. And she mentioned the Electric Company. The Electric Companies used to put out, and I don't know if they still do or not, if you can still get those, but there used to be pretty much every Electric Company had its own cookbook.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and I grew up outside of Milwaukee, so Golden Guernsey Dairy would have their cookbook, too.
Yes. Yeah, and so that was always a lot of fun. Well, thank you so much for calling. I appreciated that. Appreciate your call and your story. We have a Bill in Madison up next. Hi, Bill. Thanks for calling.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Oh, I just wanted to chime in about I know this is a bread program, and very good, by the way. And I've been making pie crusts for years using the pâté brisé French recipe with the ice water. And I even freeze my butter when I put it into the flour and turn on my KitchenAid. It's amazing. I just got nothing but rave reviews over every pie crust I ever make.
Just wanted
to throw that in there.
Yeah, any mechanical device like a Cuisinart is going to add some heat. So you're probably going to get away with frozen butter, whereas somebody doing it by hand is going to want cold butter, but not necessarily frozen. So, yeah, this is all about experimentation.
Thanks, Bill.
Set up. 30 minutes in the refrigerator for setup, and then you can work with it, and it's great. Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Myra in Green Bay has a question for you. Hi, Myra.
Hi. My my boyfriend and his father have this ongoing thing about who can make the best pie crust. And his father is 93 and making pie crust. But in their experimentation, they came upon an article about leaf lard, as leaf lard being the best you can put in. But leaf lard is also very hard to find. So I'm wondering, is there really a huge difference with the leaf lard?
We've talked about, yeah.
Not really.
I'll have to say, yes, there is a difference.
We've talked about leaf lard. What is it first?
The old recipes will call for leaf lard. It was, instead of taking all the fat and sort of rendering it down and homogenizing it, you took fat from only certain parts of the pig. Mm-hmm. And leaf meant it was somewhat layered, okay, and it was rendered less. So in Madison, I think it's Willow Creek, a pork farmers in a sense, you can buy their leaf lard. Now, it is expensive, but when you deal with it, the consistency is way different. It's much harder, much denser. So what I've been doing with my pie crust is I use half of the, you know, basic lard and half of leaf lard. And that's my approach.
Yeah.
It's a little harder to work with, but I think it's got superior, you know, taste. And but it's got a stronger taste, so some people aren't going to like that. So for me, half and half works.
What does it taste like? Does it taste more like pork?
No, it would just be...
When you say stronger
It doesn't taste like bacon.
No, it's hard. I can't describe what the difference. The basic lard is almost, you know, to me, almost tasteless.
Yeah.
That people in the Depression, one of the foods, this is hard to imagine, that people ate were lard sandwiches.
Yeah.
My grandfather had that every morning.
Yeah. This is
a piece of bread with lard and sugar.
Yeah. So if they were getting good lard, yes, it was a lot of fat, but it was a lot of calories, and this is what people had.
Wow.
So people used to care about their lard.
This is reminding me of a...
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. A little history piece that has nothing to do with the rest of this show, but during the Depression, the agriculture reporter here at Wisconsin Public Radio, only it was WHA then, thought that it would be a good idea if farmers could save money if they could butcher their own pigs. And so he did a live show where they butchered a pig on the air and talked about how to all the different cuts.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We don't do that anymore on Wisconsin Public Radio.
No.
But leaf lard might have come into that conversation. Who knows?
One thing I wanted to get back to about shortening is that you can also mix shortenings, meaning... in my stolen recipe, even though it's a yeast thing, I partially mix up as if it's a pie crust, and I'm using some butter and some lard. So this is a whole nother way other people make their pie crust, is they're using some butter and some lard. Another way to do it, yes.
Kim in Whitehall, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I've been making our bread for about a year and a half now, and I grind our own wheat before I make it fresh before making the bread. So I'm using hard white wheat berries. I grind it up, and then I use honey instead of sugar. What I've noticed is that by using this whole wheat that's been ground, I don't get near the rise out of the bread as I did just using white flour or bread flour. I've put in some vital wheat gluten to supplement, and that helps some. But I wonder if there's any other techniques I can use to get a little bit better rise out of that freshly ground flour versus the kind that you buy in the store.
Well, realize that when you're using whole wheat, you're getting the bran and the germ. Bran is a fiber, and it tends to cut the gluten. So you're usually going to have less rise with a whole wheat, you know, flour as opposed to white flour. So it's all about the proportions. So you could up the yeast in it. You could have your rising time be longer. I mean, there are various techniques to get it, but it's never going to be as, you know, fluffy in a sense as, you know, like this Ulekaka, which is just white all-purpose flour.
Right. It is a little bit more dense, but the nutrition is so much better.
Oh, yes, yes. And just realize there's a difference of opinion about whether after you grind your own grain, whether you should use it absolutely fresh or if you want it to, in a sense, age a little bit.
Oh.
It's one of those, it's like the companies that say beer should be, you know, the fresher the better. Well, yeah. No, I'm sorry. You know, making bread take a longer time is often a good process. And some people would say, grind your own grain, yes, great, but don't use it necessarily that day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that time is. If it's a day, it's a week, you know, it's not a year.
Well, I heard that it goes rancid fairly quickly after you grind it if you don't use it or freeze it.
Well, but it's not going to go rancid in a week.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying? I don't know what that window is. It's something you can play with. I mean, this is bread baking. It's experimenting. Food science.
Food science 101. There we go. Or no, it's not. Probably not 101. Maybe it's 201, at least. Thanks a lot, Kim. We had a question from Dee, who says, "I'm this is on Facebook. She says, I am now looking at your book, A Baker's Dozen of Daily Breads and More, and wondering where would you suggest getting amaranth flour and amaranth grain or berries?"
In Madison, the Willie Street Co-op is going to have this. As far as catalog sources, King Arthur sells not just equipment but flours.
Yeah.
Bob's Red Mill has a huge number of grains. They're going to have the amaranth and quinoa and teff and on and on and on. Grains and flour and flakes and really quality catalog and website, et cetera, et cetera.
There we go. We have... Another question on Facebook from Mary, who says, "My gifts of bread are always disappointing. They dry out. How far in advance can you bake? How should they be kept for gifting? Do you have a good recipe for gifting or big recipes that can be made into small loaves for singles or couples?"
Well, one of my recommendations for any bread would be that you get the dough fairly moist. And you never get it too dried out.
Yeah.
And then you bake it, and you also get a good crust on it. So you have a crust on the outside, but you have moistness on the inside. That bread will last. A good bread, I don't refrigerate it. I put it in a bag and put it in a bread box, and it'll last a week. Yeah. Now, French bread that has hardly any shortening or oil or sugar lasts a day or two. So some breads don't last long. But a typical bread, this Ulicaca, it's rich bread, it's going to last for quite a while.
And, you know, some of the breads, the breads that are more like banana bread type things are going to last longer.
Right. Sugar and shortening, both of those ingredients, the more of them, the more the bread's going to last.
Michael in Madison has a question. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I make a lot of Italian bread, and I make a poulish for it. And I'm always kind of wondering, I've never actually, you know, timed it out and seen how long, you know, what's sort of the window in terms of how long that poulish is set, and what are the differences it makes to the final bread in terms of how long it's been sitting around?
Well,
what's a poulish, by the way?
Poulish? It's basically a style of sourdough.
Oh,
fermented fermented dough or and poulish and biga and sourdough and on all different terms of consistency, but they're all wild yeast and bacteria.
Oh, okay.
So some places bakeries would let their bread sit for 12 hours, 24 hours if they're say not using commercial yeast. So bread can, I mean, I will sometimes cook grains, let it sit out the night, overnight.
That's generally what I do. I leave it sit out overnight.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like if it sits a little longer, it gets a little more flavor.
Yes, I would agree. Extend the length of your baking and probably you're going to develop more flavor. And many people are less susceptible to problems with wheat if it's been pre-digested by the the culture.
Oh, sure.
So yeah, well,
that makes sense. That does make sense. Thanks, Michael, for calling. And Gina and Cudahy, it's your turn. Hi.
I make rolls, and they come out real crumbly. I like to know what the reasoning is.
I'm just going to guess that the inside got too dry. Mm-hmm. The old-fashioned recipes that called for getting your dough satiny, and this would basically be with a white bread.
Yeah,
I think that's too dry.
Meaning
I try to, even at the end, after I've kneaded it for 8 minutes, it's still a little moist to the touch. The other thing would be, is there sugar in it? I mean, by sugar, I mean, again, it could be honey, it could be sorghum, it could be molasses, etc. And is there oil in it? Because breads that don't have either of those are going to tend to be a little more crumbly, too.
Okay.
And they won't last as long.
Okay. This recipe called for a fourth oil, so I thought, well, then I'm going to switch to a half a cup of shortening. Is that bad?
It's just, you just have a little richer bread. So,
yeah.
It's not bad. I mean, and you don't need oil in a bread. It's just, it makes it, you know, it just changes it.
Yeah.
But I would try to get your dough a little moister before you keep going.
We have, and thanks very much for calling, Gene. Appreciate your call. I wanted to mention that before we wind up here, that you've got you're teaching a class at MATC, or Madison Area College, on bread baking, and what recipes are you going to be talking about? This is in the month of January, right?
This is January 19th, yes. I just did French, so this would be the healthy breads, where I deal with a lot of whole grains and whatnot. And later I do a sourdough, where I deal with sourdough and sour rye. So I have these three classes I cycle through.
Yeah, and it's always a lot of fun. And Madison, and I think to sign up, if you go to the Madison Area College.
Yeah, now it's Madison College.
Or Madison College.
Yes.
I say Madison Area. Madison College website, and then just go to.
Sure. It's part of the adult and continuing education section.
Yeah, so that's the place to go. And you're going to learn a lot about, I always want to say bed breaking, but it's bread baking.
Well, a minister told me that line, that spoonerism. So I've used that one.
Oh, man. Thanks, Paul. It's always a great pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be
great
with
to
us.
Great to be here, Larry.
Well, try and get him back at Easter time. We'll talk about Easter cakes, Easter breads. That's what we'll talk about at Easter time with Paul Novak. Go to Madison College website, and you can sign up for his latest class. And, of course, he's teaching lots of classes over there from time to time, so just pay attention, and you can get signed up for one or the other.